Hi, I'm Eric Dahma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith, revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's good to be with you again in studio here on a beautiful summer day and talking about the scriptures.
Absolutely. And it's exciting to open up the scriptures and to see what they're saying to us.
Right.
Because the meaning is determined by the author.
Right.
But there are many applications, and we try to make some of those every week in the radio broadcast. We spend time covering the meaning of the passage.
Yeah.
And then we make some applications, like we did last week.
That's right. Amen. And I know we had left off in verse 6 last time. I'll just read verse 5 and then connect it to verse 6. We had studied verse 5 of Galatians 5, where Paul said, "For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness." And Bob, you did a wonderful job at showing us this concept of already not yet. We're already justified once and for all. But that doesn't eliminate this idea that we're waiting one day to hear the verdict called by God in glory that we are, in fact, innocent.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, now in verse 6, Paul goes on to say, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." Now, we've got a lot of concepts to cover there. But let's begin, Bob, with that idea of being in Christ Jesus that Paul uses quite often, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I know you've done some work on this over the years. The idea of in Christ has been given different applications, or at least discussions about what does it mean.
Right.
People read into it more than what it's really trying to say.
Right.
What do you think that this is? Is this a deity of a sphere, or?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that being in Christ Jesus, and or like phrases in Christ, is the fact that our identity is with Him. In the moment we trusted in Him, in fact, you're going to be preaching on this weekend on Sunday, where in Colossians 1:13 it talks about being taken from the domain of darkness and being deposited in the kingdom of the beloved Son. And that is where our identity is. By faith in Christ, we have His righteousness, we have His atonement, we're with Him. And that's the identity that we need, and that's what Paul here is boasting in.
Yeah, I remember hearing this from you, and you had learned some of this from Daniel Wallace, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, that a lot of times the dative that used to be, well, you have to choose this or that.
Right.
But sometimes what it is a dative of sphere.
Yeah, amen.
And being in the sphere of Christ is very meaningful because it determines our new identity.
Exactly, and you mentioned when we were talking off air, that it really talks about our security, because if we're with Him, we know that Jesus, for instance, prays in John 17:15, He says, "Heavenly Father, I don't ask that You take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a prayer that the Father answers. Because we're in Christ's sphere, we're never going to be ever again in the sphere of Satan. And that's a tremendous promise.
We were talking about it because I'm going to preach on it on Sunday.
Yes, exactly.
Of all the writings I've done for Critical Issues Commentary, and that's where this podcast comes from, CICministry.org.
Right.
For all these articles, the most feedback I get, and still do, and have for many years, is on the issue of spiritual warfare.
Yes.
You would not believe how many people are troubled by demons, and they're looking for an exorcist.
Okay.
Or they want to learn how to manipulate the spirit world so that they'd find relief from problems or whatever other thing that they're trying to deal with.
Right.
Okay. And many years ago, I first started contemplating and then looking at the cross references, the implications of Colossians 1:13.
Right.
Now this next Sunday, which will be August 17th, 2014, I'm going to preach on that. Transferred from the domain or authority of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, or the son of his love, it says literally.
Wow.
Okay. Now it says in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Yeah.
Cosmos, meaning the whole world in his rebellion against God, in that context.
Yes, right.
So we were in that sphere of Satan.
Right.
Whether we believe there was a Satan or not, we were doing his bidding.
Right.
Whether we knew it or not.
Yes.
And we were under condemnation. Okay. And when we believed the gospel, we were, according to Colossians 1:13 and 14, rescued. Okay, God is on a search and rescue mission.
Right.
We'll talk about that Sunday.
Yeah.
And we're rescued out of that sphere of darkness and bondage to Satan and his minions and put into the sphere of Christ, in Christ, and within the kingdom. And there's a lot to talk about all of these things.
Wow.
Okay. And as I've been able to use the Logos Bible software ever more efficiently,
yeah,
I could just find a treasure trove of material right. from the Greek.
Yes, right.
In particular.
Yeah.
But what is going wrong for most people
yeah.
that are caught up in the spiritual warfare movement
yeah.
is they think that it's all about the details. In other words, we're going to rearrange the cosmic deck chairs
right,
on
right.
the Titanic. So you take this whole arena, the sphere of Satan.
Yeah.
And then you try to manipulate what's going on within that sphere.
Right.
Okay, we're going to rebuke Satan. We're going to have a revelation of who's the demon over what city.
Right.
Okay, I wrote about this going all the way back into the early 90s.
Yeah, they're great articles.
See
yeah.
Peter Wagner and his false teachings on this.
Right.
And so on and so forth. The Word of Faith teachers.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there trying to manipulate things.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're still in this sphere of Satan.
Right.
Or you're not in it, but you think you are.
Right, right.
And
it's
so you
one
think
the
your
other.
House is cursed and your car is cursed and your job is cursed and you've got to break curses and
right.
find out which ancestors sin.
Yeah.
So there's an endless array of false teachings in the church to help people deal with the sphere of Satan.
Yes, right. Okay. Great way of saying it. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that that's not the biblical teaching.
Yeah.
Okay, when Jesus had his disciples cast out demons, it showed that messianic salvation was on the scene of history.
Exactly.
He wasn't creating a therapeutic process for Christians.
Right, right.
So if you got a sin, you find out the demon that causes it. You've got a sickness, you find out the demon that causes it. That's right. not what it's about.
Right, right.
Okay, so you're in the sphere of Satan, doing all these things and endlessly you never get done with it.
Yeah.
Or you're converted through the gospel. You believe the promises of God through the gospel. You're transferred.
Wow, beautiful.
Into the kingdom of his son.
Yes.
Okay. You're in a different sphere.
Right.
Does that make sense? Is that a better way to say it?
Amen.
Okay. Now, 1 John 5:19, whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
It's not you.
And now you're moved over here to
right.
Christ. But even the Lord's Prayer tells us to rescue us from the evil one.
Exactly. And so we'll never enter into that domain again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the security we have.
Okay, and then you were talking about John 17.
Yes, exactly right. And Bob, this is what your article states is, look, I remember you wrote one not long ago on Ephesians, standing firm in the armor of God.
Yeah, the armor of God.
The armor of God is the gospel.
It's the gospel.
Yes, and so if we stand firm in that, what we have is we have the realization that we're forever in Christ's sphere. There's nothing that Satan's camp can ever do to us, even if we have experiences with the demonic. It's merely, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's merely an annoyance, but on the last day, you are secure. In fact, let's think of that passage in Romans 8, and where Paul says, nothing in the creation can separate us from the love of God in
yes.
Christ. And there's nothing created, no matter if it's principalities or powers, nothing can. That would be the same of I mean, if we liken it to Satan's sphere, nothing can ever separate us again.
Because we're in the sphere of Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. Well, and then some people write back, okay, well, is it automatic? Well, I don't like the term automatic because it implies sort of utter passivity.
Sure, right.
But I'm saying God has transferred us into a different sphere, now the kingdom of his son.
Yeah.
There's plenty to do.
Right.
Believe the promises and
right.
And you know, practice the means of grace.
Right, amen.
And we go about living the Christian life by faith.
Yeah.
And Satan will attack us any way that he can. And the number one way that he likes to attack us is to convince us that we're not right with God.
Yes.
He's
yes.
the accuser of the brethren, because that's the one thing that would undo the whole thing.
Right, right.
If it were true.
Yes.
That I'm not right with God.
Yeah.
And that God lied when he, like in the garden, you shall not die.
Right.
Don't believe the gospel. Don't believe the promises.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus doesn't really cleanse you. You got to do work, 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 or you'll never be right with God. There's all these things that are all attacks against the gospel.
Yes.
To try to convince us we're not really in the sphere of Christ.
Right, right. That's exactly the issue.
Okay, so there's your spiritual warfare. It's the truth versus the lie. I wrote a whole article on that.
Yes.
In our website. Okay? And so here we are in a sphere of Christ with Satan trying to lob thoughts at us that we really aren't.
Right. That's the battle.
Or that we need a shaman to help us deal with being under the sphere of Satan when we're really not there anyhow.
Right, right.
Shamans.
A shaman, that's a beautiful
thing. And I've even debated with people that email me, and they don't like me, they don't listen anymore. I tell them that their deliverance counselor is nothing more than a Christian shaman.
Yeah, that's a great term.
Mediating between them and the spirits.
You know, Bob, that's well said. You know, here Jesus in John 10:27-28, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And what I love about that, they shall never perish, you know, in Greek language, there's moods. The indicative mood just gives you an indication of what's going on. If I said I went to the store, I'm just indicating what I did. But if I said I really desire to go to the store, or there's a possibility that I'm going to the store, well, now I'm using the subjunctive mood.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's so powerful in John 10:27-28, when Jesus says, "They shall never perish," he's negating the subjunctive mood. Now, here's the power of that. What he's saying is not just that there's no way that they're going to perish. He's saying that there's not even a possibility of future perishing. And so what he's negating is even the possibility of the perishing of a sheep, which means we're forever secure within his sphere.
Amen.
How beautiful is that?
That's a great promise.
It is.
You know, I love these things. I remember when I first studied Greek at Bible college.
Right.
That's when I first started really learning English.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Because before, I've never seen making sense.
Yeah, I didn't
pay
attention.
We talk English while I study.
Right.
And these moods.
Yeah.
And tenses.
Very exciting.
Very, very much so. And it helps us understand what God said in his word.
Amen.
Now, you made a good point about Romans 8. None of these spiritual realities. We're not denying that there aren't demons and spirits and principalities.
Right.
But we're denying that we're in that sphere.
Amen.
Because we've been transferred.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful. It.
That is. Yep.
Now we need to know what life's like in the sphere of Christ, and that's what the scriptures are telling us.
Right. You know, Bob, what's interesting, there's a connection I just want to make real quick. If we go all the way back even to Genesis 13, remember God makes the promise to Abraham that to his seed, to him and his seed, all of the land belonged. And he's making a kingdom promise that will one day in the future be realized when Christ returns. But what's interesting is he says, "To you and your seed I give all of this land." Paul takes that in Galatians 3:16 and he says the seed is Christ.
Amen.
And so the point being is, think about this. We have, for the listener, if you and I have faith in Jesus Christ, we're with him. And because the kingdom belongs to him, and we're with him in his sphere, the kingdom is ours too. And that's the beautiful promise. We can never be separated from Christ and his kingdom by anything in the created order, which is anything.
Well, that's what it's saying. Yeah. And it's saying it to people who were afraid of the Stoichia.
Yes.
The house that have powers.
Yeah, amen.
In order to comfort them.
Right.
It seems odd to me, but it never changes in some way. There are always Christians who hate the idea of being comforted.
Yeah, right.
For instance, if you teach the doctrine of election, some people get really mad.
Right, and it's supposed to be comforting.
They get so upset, they shake with adrenaline when they talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The doctrine of election, especially as laid out in the book of Ephesians, is to comfort us and tell us we're safe.
Amen.
But they think, well, it means people don't have a chance.
Right, yeah, they don't see it the way that it's intended.
It's intended to comfort Christians, not put a roadblock up for the lost to repent and believe the gospel.
Exactly, that's right.
And so in my mind, the universal call and the doctrine of election create no contradiction.
Yeah, right, they go seamlessly.
But they don't see it that way.
Right, right.
They think they have to get rid of one or the other. The same way with this thing about spiritual warfare.
Yes.
I think it would be comforting.
Yeah.
But to dozens and dozens and dozens of real people that I've emailed back and forth, it's not.
Yeah.
They'd rather go to somebody that tells them, I can identify what spirit's doing that.
Mm. Wow.
And it's really a form of unbelief. They'd rather go to the shaman.
Yeah.
They're afraid that if they're in the sphere of Christ, and they're transferred, and they don't need to find generational curses and demons over cities or things that were done in the home by an occultist and some previous owner.
Right.
Well, then these things that may be happening in life that they don't like might not go away.
Right. That's a great point.
And so they're giving up their hope of things getting better.
Yeah. That's their fear,
Christ is offering eternal hope.
Right.
And eternal security. And providence, as far as bringing us from here to glory, are things going to get better?
Yeah.
As far as problems we might have? We don't know.
We don't know, exactly.
I don't know. What's better and what's worse? Well, I might get more money.
Right.
Or I might have less.
Right.
My car may go for 200,000 miles, or it may break down tomorrow.
Right.
That's what life's like.
It is, yeah.
But we have eternal hope, and we have this because we're in Christ, not because we have some external religious status, and that's what our verses say.
You know, Bob, I think what would be helpful for the listener would be, remember in your paper, you defined two different worldviews, and the one worldview is the warfare worldview, which is where we have to interact with these demonic beings. And like you say, get a Christian shaman who can see the demonic realm and the spiritual realm and intercede for us, etc. But the biblical worldview is that God is providentially in control, and he uses the demons and his angels as he sees fit. And we know from Romans 8:28 that all things work out for the good for those who love him or called according to his purpose. So God is using even the demonic and the angelic beings for our betterment if we belong to him by faith.
Yes, and that also includes evil people and evil rulers.
Yes, exactly.
How can you read the Old Testament and not get that idea?
Right.
Kings are raised up.
Yes.
To discipline Israel and to bring them back to the land, as the case may be.
Yeah, but was it Genesis 49 where Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Yeah.
For the preservation of Israel, so.
Well, we're talking about Galatians 5:6, let's get a little more into this.
Right.
We were talking about in Christ, being in the sphere of Christ.
Yes.
Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love.
Mm.
Now, this can certainly mean whether we're literally circumcised or not, but it also implies whether we're Jew or Greek.
Yeah, right.
Kind of world we live in.
Yeah.
So we're in a new sphere. We're in Christ.
Right.
And here, in this kingdom of Christ, we have faith working through love.
Yeah, in other words, it doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. And it was sort of like we were talking about last week. Remember I mentioned the guy who, from Africa, said, well, I want all theology, I want the whole story, not just a kernel.
Right, because he's in Christ.
Yeah, I can learn these things as well as anybody else. And that's the way it should be. It doesn't matter where you're from.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. And being in Christ changes everything.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it makes us one in Christ. And here's the essence of Christian unity.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw that earlier in Galatians where there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, and so on.
Right, yeah.
This is repeated in several places in the New Testament. It doesn't matter where we came from. It
doesn't matter a bit.
What a great, glorious truth that now I'm in Christ.
Yes.
All this stuff I don't have to try to sort through.
Yeah.
I loathe these Christian counseling approaches that send everybody back to their own past.
Yeah, right, right.
That is the absurdity of all absurdities.
Yeah, it's as if they take them out of the sphere of Christ and remind them what they were before.
Yeah, they put them back in this other realm.
Yeah.
Where they get beat up by the devil.
Wow. Well, that's helpful. Well, that's sad.
Well, they think they're going to solve the problem by going back and finding some key in your subconscious mind or in your past. This is not Christian. That sort of a counseling approach is not Christian.
It's unbiblical.
And is Amen. Not biblical.
That's right. Hey, Bob, now, you know what's interesting? In 1 Corinthians 9:20, even Paul says, as if I were a Jew, he talks about the fact that he doesn't even regard his, you know, he says to those who are Jews, I became as if I were a Jew. And what's very interesting, this is something that...
He's really Jewish.
He really is Jewish, right?
Ethnically, but he sees himself as new in Christ, and it's not his defining characteristic.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it is. Now, I have here in my notes when I preach this.
Yeah.
Faith alone, okay, faith working through love. Let's key in on that for the time we have left.
Right.
Faith working through love.
Yeah.
Now, I know in Roman Catholic theology, love produces faith.
Yes, they think you work up to it.
Yeah, but we believe that faith is a gift from God.
Amen.
Saving faith.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And our love for Christ comes because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And we start really loving him when we're regenerated.
Amen.
Okay? So faith working through love. Now, if you don't mind, could you look up Ephesians 2, 8 through 10? And you got it now?
Good. Yep, I sure do.
I know you like this passage, so I want you to have at it. Have your way with it.
Okay, I love, you're right, Bob. This is a great passage. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Yeah, Bob, I love that passage.
And I know you've done a lot of work on it, so I
think
I'm safe to ask you to explain it.
Yeah.
Now, by grace you've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Now, I know we've talked about this.
Yeah.
And theologians have debated it.
Right.
What exactly is the gift of God? Is it grace, or is it faith, or what?
Yeah, you know, in verse 8, it says, this is not of your own doing, and the big debate is, what does this refer back to? It's a demonstrative pronoun. What's interesting is it's in the neuter, and when typically a demonstrative pronoun is in the neuter, what's interesting is both grace and faith, if I remember correctly, they're feminine, or one may be feminine, one's masculine. I think they're both feminine, but the point is, the demonstrative pronoun typically will match the case of what it's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
But typically when a neuter pronoun is used, it's used to cover a wider arena than just one item.
Yeah.
So the point then is that this, when it says this is not of your own doing, it's really a reference back to both the grace and the faith.
Okay. That's how I understand it.
Yeah. But what's interesting about the grace is it's almost redundant. We call it a tautology because obviously by definition, grace has to be something from without yourself. So the emphasis there really is on the faith. So even the faith is a gift of God.
And I believe that's what it says.
Exactly. And so God has given this, and that's exactly your point. You're saying, look, this isn't something we conjure up or drive ourselves to or are able to pull out of ourselves. This is something that comes from God.
So when it says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything.
Right.
But faith working through love.
Yes.
This faith is the gift of God.
Amen.
Okay. Wow. And it wasn't conjured up because you have love.
Right.
But it works through love. So you have faith alone.
Yeah.
I notice on our Gospel of Grace Fellowship website.
Yeah.
It has the five solas.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
One is faith alone.
Yep.
Now, as theologians have stated, and correctly so, that we're saved by faith alone doesn't imply that faith remains alone.
Right. That's a great point. Yes.
Okay. So you read the next two verses.
Yeah. And then when we get into verse 10,
yeah,
he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Well, there we have another dative of sphere. So God beforehand had created us by his sovereign will to place us in the sphere of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that was for good works, which it says he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Okay, now, how do you interpret that? God prepared, now mine says that we would walk in them. Some say that we should walk in them. Is it saying you ought to walk in good works, but you may or may not? Or can we look at this and see an implication, since we're his workmanship and he prepared this beforehand?
Yeah,
we have a promise that we will walk in them.
Amen. I think it's that.
Do we look at that? Now, I know our Arminian friends are already probably pretty mad at us,
right?
But and they maybe wouldn't understand this how we do, but I think the text is clear, isn't it?
I think it is. I think you're right. I think it's a necessary thing that we walk in them, meaning God effectuates it.
God will do a work so that we do.
Exactly right.
Now,
yes.
We wouldn't comfort somebody who never shows any fruit or never shows any good works.
That would be evidence that they're not in the faith.
They're not really in the sphere of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
But if we're in the sphere of Christ,
yeah,
as it says here, and here it says, we are his workmanship. So that would only be true of those who are regenerate.
Amen.
Okay, and have saving faith.
That's right.
Created in Christ for good works.
That's right.
So I've understood this, that if we're created for good works and the Holy Spirit's working in us.
That's the purpose, yeah.
And God uses the means that we know about.
Yep.
We will walk in them.
Amen. That
doesn't
right.
mean we don't ever have any ought to's or duty or anything.
Right.
But this is more of a promise than a duty.
Exactly. We will do these things because we're in his sphere. He's created us for that
it's
purpose.
It's just what recreated, new creation
That's
Christians
right.
do because it's their nature to do it.
Yes. And we know from like John 6:29, the first work that we do, obviously, is we believe in the one whom he has sent. But you also mentioned in Galatians 6, we bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love our brothers and sisters. So the love is central to the works that we're called to do, all because he called us out of darkness, gave us faith to believe in Jesus Christ, and he's placed us in that sphere.
Yeah, Romans 5:8 says that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful.
And so God is at work. Yeah. And again, the critics will say, well, automatic. You're always talking about everything's automatic. I don't use the term automatic in theology.
Right, right.
Okay.
That's right.
Because this is about how grace works practically, and it's all working in believers.
Amen.
Because we have faith, and because we love God,
yes,
and we're new creations, and we're in the sphere of Christ, good works is what will be there.
Yes, right. Amen.
Okay,
that's right.
It's part and parcel of being a new creation.
That's right. You know, and I think you made a good contrast, Bob, earlier with Catholicism. One way I've put it to people is, in a sense, Catholicism reverses justification and the process of sanctification. They basically say you have to become good enough and work your way up to having a faith.
Before God will ever say you're just.
Exactly, where you and I are saying, no, we're justified once and for all by faith.
Which they call legal fiction.
Right? Yet God's word clearly declares it. And we just saw that in Ephesians 2:8. So then by faith we're given the Spirit, which Paul says, how is it that you received the Spirit? Was it by works or by faith? And of course the answer is it was by faith. And so now we have the Spirit who enables us to do the things that are pleasing to God, which first of all entails love of God and love of our fellow brothers
faith
and sisters.
Working through love.
Amen.
Now, I was thinking of an illustration. We're running out of time, but my wife and I have enjoyed sitting on the porch swing. We had a long, hard winter, so we're really enjoying this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
And we like to sit out there in the evening. It's that part's in the shade.
Yeah.
We feed birds. We got a little bird water thing and bird feeder and bird nests. I mean, houses.
Sure.
Well, a family of wrens were in our one birdhouse.
Okay.
And so we sat there many evenings watching that thing almost jump as the mama and wren comes with the food for the little ones.
Sure.
And you don't always see it all because it's just going on whether you're out there watching or not.
Right.
But there are all these little, wrens are little bitty birdies.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that whole house is just jumping and they're tweeting they want the food.
Yeah.
Somehow, now one day we go out and the house is empty and now all the birds are gone.
Okay.
They grew up and they flew the coop. Now here's, as one time when we were sitting here, I thought, how are all those little tiny wren eggs that that hatch into little wrens that get into bigger ones and eventually they've got feathers and and they're going to get out of that house and they're going to fly away.
Right, right.
They never took a flying lesson.
Right, yeah. It's all predetermined, isn't it?
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It's of their nature. Of course, they're by instinct, and we have will.
Right, yeah.
And choices. But nevertheless, there's something in the nature of those wrens.
Yes.
That unless the cat's sitting there under the house, which we don't have a cat. Right. But they like to do that when the bird first comes out. And they,
oh, yeah.
They get coaxed along learning, then the cat likes to jump on them.
Right.
But unless that's the case, they'll get out of there. They will fly, and they'll go on on their way. Yeah. And this verse is telling me that we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works.
Yeah.
We're going to get out of that little wren house, and we're going to fly.
That's right. Amen.
And
that's our nature.
We're Christians. We're going to have good works.
Yeah.
And faith working through love is what it looks like to be in the sphere of Christ.
Amen.
And we need to be exhorted and admonished to do these things. But it happens partially through being reminded this is the way it is.
That's right. That's the way it is. That's okay. Beautiful.
Well,
what a wonderful way to finish. Yeah. Well, Bob, you're exactly right. You know, what's so exciting, too, I know as a pastor, you've seen this for years. It's exciting to see the saints use their gifts and to do the good works that they've been called to do.
I just have seen it my whole Christian life.
Yeah, yeah.
Blessed, wonderful Christians in their own gifts, and they love to serve. And the law of Christ is to bear one another's burdens, and I see Christians do that.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you that you can again access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a real pleasure again discussing these passages, and I look forward to doing it next week.
Amen.
We want to remind you to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.